Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Listening to AFR, I'm Tim Wildman. By the way, we have wanted to let you know if you are traveling this summer on vacation or whatever, and you want to come by, and you're going to be traveling our way here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and see our studios. You can even watch us do the show if you want to, see our network, take some pictures, whatever you want to do, you're welcome to do that. We have church groups, of course, they're more local, but we do have a lot of folks who travel. They headed down to the beach or whatever. Just let us know you're coming. You can go on the website, afr.net, afa.net, and let us know you're coming. Give us a call because, you know, we want to bake a cake. And you remember that one? You know what I'm talking about?
Bake a cake?
You just chuckled. Yeah. Okay. Ray, you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I like the idea. The concept is good.
Okay. Am I the only one who remembers... If I'd have known you was coming,
I'd have baked a cake.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't know where that came from. Is that from the musical Oklahoma? Or was that off-Broadway?
I'm not that old, Tim.
Okay. I'm looking at you, Fred. All right. So, Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody. I baked the cake, if you want.
You did. You literally baked the cake last week.
I brought
it up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got your music.
And I knew you were coming.
Yeah,
so I did that. But may I just say that I love it when people decide to sign up and take a tour. They come by, they talk, and get to meet the nicest people.
Yeah, we have wonderful listeners.
Absolutely,
absolutely. And if you're traveling, let's say from Memphis to Birmingham, for example, we're right in the middle.
Yep.
Are you going from Nashville to New Orleans? We're down the road.
If you're going from the South Pole to the North Pole, we're about like 4/5 of the way there.
That's one way to put it, Steve. Never heard it put that way.
3/5 maybe. Yeah.
All right. You're listening to today's Issues. Boy, Ray, you were commenting to me. You said that was an impressive interview with Riley Gaines, right?
During the break, I went up and said to my wife, Tim, you and I have been doing interviews for 15, 16 years now. That's one of the best ones I have ever heard on American Family Radio. We've had tons of great ones, but she was so clear, so articulate, so positive. That she gets knocked around in the media, and she just comes back and doesn't give up. If you talk about what we want from Christian athletes and Christian spokesmen she was amazing, and what a great example. Wish her every success.
You know, she was a All-American swimmer at the University of Kentucky. I mean, that's NCAA. That's the highest level of collegiate competition right there. And to be an All-American. And then what she won, help me out here. She won. The reason this all got started, she finished second.
Yes.
I put that in parentheses, in quotations, to in a national competition. I don't know if it was a national championship.
Championships, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To remember the guy?
Yes, Will Thomas.
Will Thomas.
Will
Leah.
Will said, I want to swim. Sign me up in the girls' competition. Mm. And he's like 6'2", 6'3", just towers over these girls. And he won, or they tied. Mm-hmm. And then they gave the award to him. And that's what started all this. And, you know, the Bible talks about God raising up people for a certain purpose and time. Mm-hmm. He raised Riley Gaines up because Riley Gaines could have lost that competition and been a wallflower or maybe a non-believer or a pagan or I don't know. God raised up Riley Gaines because he knew she was – and he's given her the strength to be courageous in her message.
And Ray's question was so important. What keeps you going?
Right. And she said Jesus Christ.
Her relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What an example.
All right. Today, I guess, is Nashville Day. Riley Gaines lives in Nashville. And our next guest, Greg Fast, is from Nashville, Tennessee, and is down visiting with us. How you doing, Greg?
Well, you said to come and visit. Is there a cake available? Or
there's no cake.
You did make a promise.
Steve brought the cake last week.
I did
week.
Devotions, too, and I'm looking for cake.
Well,
good to be here.
You can't have your cake and eat it, too, Greg.
And as you told me, you can fly here from Nashville. And
yes.
It's 30 minutes.
Well, a couple months ago, whenever it was, you said I want to come down and visit because you are in the Christian part of your business is representing Christian radio programs mm-hmm. to networks like ours
yep.
and radio stations, mm-hmm. including David Jeremiah's program and Michael Youssef's program, which we air both.
Yep. On focus AFR. On the family, have roots and focus on the family.
Focus on the family, and we have forever. We've aired those shows. So when you were talking about coming down here, I was thinking, I've driven to Nashville many times, and it's okay. It's 3.5-4 hours, mm-hmm. but then you got to go home. And you're like, oh, I got to drive 3.5-4 hours home, even if it's one day to the next. And I told you, I said, listen, we have jet service now from Nashville to Tupelo. And you said what? You said Shazam. I remember that. But you didn't believe me, did you?
Well, I've never heard of Contour Airlines, so I guess we can give them a plug. But it was fantastic. Yeah. I was texting you, in the plane, saying, I cannot believe this.
Yeah, by the time you got – you didn't even get peanuts, and you were already landing.
And then you go to Tupelo Airport, which is the cutest little thing in the world you put in your pocket. And so it's like, hey, I'm going to do this.
Did he just defend us, Fred?
$60, was that right?
I don't know. It was very inexpensive. So I've lived in town for 30 years in Nashville. What'd you say?
I think we're supposed to be offended right there. You called us having a cute little airport, a big city bragger.
No.
All right, Ray Pritchard, by the way. Brother Ray's in Kansas City. He's on with us right now.
Great.
You can see him right there.
Hi, Ray. Good morning.
So you're going to go back home this afternoon.
Yeah,
you're a 30-minute flight.
Indeed.
From the cute little airport to Nashville.
That. Well, coming here and seeing what you guys have done with this new building. Now, the new building is probably not, 2 years old or something. I mean, new.
Yeah, it's about 2 years old. Two years old, March.
It still feels new.
Especially coming from, we were talking earlier about focus on the family and the visitors that go there.
Right.
But, you know, this is just a great testimony of what, you know, God's faithfulness for sure. But honoring, you know, your dad and stuff. But, yeah, it's great to come and see. And I'm all about that, as I was telling you in devotions, to come and see it for myself. And
how long have you been involved in Christian radio?
Yeah, so, you know, I used to, as I think I told you, I started my career in Seattle when contemporary Christian music was in its infancy with Evie and the Imperials and all that stuff. And so anyway, graduated from being a DJ. I guess you can graduate quickly from being a DJ, or you stay a DJ the rest of your life.
Keith Green back in the day,
absolutely.
And second chapter
before
he
died.
Yep,
all of that.
Yeah.
And I remember I was telling you, B.J. Thomas became a Christian. We all thought, oh my goodness, he's got a Christian album.
Right.
So, but anyway, eventually made my way to Focus on the Family, and that was really life altering for me.
Steve was at Focus.
Yeah.
Were y'all at two different time periods though?
We didn't cross paths there, but we separated maybe by about 8 or 9 years.
But I set the legacy for
you.
Yes. And then Jim Daly and I were peers, and it was fun to be able to see, you know, that Jim would be raised up to be the new president there. But they're doing such great work. I mean, are they 40 years old? But the continuation of what they've done
started.
And that's the key. You know, this getting better and always because there's so much to do. As we were just listening to Riley, a fellow Tennessean. Tennessee's a great place.
Yeah, it is.
Mississippi's a great place.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know, coming from Southern California, which as soon as you say California, you start to pause. You know, when I just think about Gavin Newsom will probably be running for president at some point. And I left California 30 years ago. But the thought of what can California
what
do to destroy itself?
So you grew up in Southern California?
I did.
So what?
25 years.
This is the place where Reagan was governor two times.
And Orange County was very Republican, San Diego, military, and all that stuff.
I asked people who grew up in California when it was more of a conservative place, at least all-American type atmosphere.
You know,
what happened?
The Bible talks about people loving the creation more than creator. I think the weather and the whole aura of the coastline. And you see that up and down the coast. I went to school in Seattle. You know, this worship of the creation on the West Coast, Oregon.
Sort of pantheism or paganism?
Yeah,
you think
for sure. And then, you know, I went out there. My mother-in-law is still out there. And we went out and sat in traffic, like, and I go there regularly, to see the traffic that people are willing to sit in.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and maybe New York is different, but the fact is that there is something mind, it's like almost mind-numbing, maybe, about you. This is what you have to do to live here. Both
but there's a lot
work.
Of great churches out there, too.
Pardon? Yeah.
There's a lot of great churches out there. Steve grew up in Northern California, but yeah. I just think about David Jeremiah. There's a lot of great churches.
Yeah, and California, you know, outside of the metro areas, right. You know, Sacramento and even Sacramento. I mean,
normal when people live out there.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
I grew up in Santa Cruz, which is as left-leaning as you can get.
That's right.
I did go to Biola. Well, here's my theory about what happened in California. Democrats play the long game. They started seeding the ground with mayors, maybe school
after
boards.
After Reagan?
Yeah. Well, yeah, during Reagan, while they had the plan to take over the state, and they had a bench, Republicans. We get the governorship, we're good, you know, governor and the congressman. But I think Democrats knew how to play the long game and plan it. And institutional capture. They had all the schools.
Well, if you believe the news, a lot of California is in trouble and falling apart. You look at Los Angeles, San Francisco. No,
why is homelessness not something that as you trip over people in the street?
Right, right.
Instead, it's their fault, and we've got the government's fault. And they're going to put them up, and we need to have more money to
tell
pay
us
for
how
them.
David. You represent David Jeremiah. He's, a, good
he's a mentor of mine.
Yeah. And, how did you get started, and how did he get started in radio? Because he's been one of our most popular shows for a couple decades.
And do you know that they're having their best year ever? They did that film.
And he's
that
like 112.
He's 82. Easy, easy. He's Caleb. I'm headed that
Don't
way.
Don't tell him I said
All
that.
Of us are headed that way from okay. Joshua to Caleb.
If we live long enough, we'll.
But,
we'll,
you know, David Jeremiah, just like Focus, but, you know, there's these, like Michael Youssef, there's these ministries that have so much integrity, but they have innovation. They're continuing to innovate. And then David Jeremiah, they just released that Christmas film. And that was huge for them. And it's now escaping me the title of it, but you guys probably know about it. And
I watched that. That wasn't The Chosen, was it?
It was Why the Nativity. Why the Nativity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what the views counts were and stuff, but we went to a premiere.
Is he still the pastor?
He is. Mm. He is. But, you know, they're building a full production television studio in their off their gutting. Have you been to their headquarters ever?
Once, yeah.
Yeah, they're gutting it already, and they're making it even, they're expanding that. So, you know, kind of like you, Tim, David Michael Jeremiah, his son, has really stepped up, and I don't know if you know him at all, but he's behind the scenes, kind of a quiet fellow, kind of private, like somebody I know of that's sitting in the room.
I'm that way.
With his, what is that kind of hat that you have on that you dig? What is that?
What cat hat got going on?
I like that
hat.
What is that hat? What's it called?
It keeps my head warm.
I know, but what's the name of that hat?
Well, people call it a newspaper boy hat. They call it a golf,
I call it cool. But
golf hat. Yeah. It's cool, too. That's
so
toboggan?
I don't think so. That's a knit hat. That's a knit hat.
You're talking about what I got on right now.
Yeah, this is super cool.
Yeah.
Do you videotape this? And
we're live video streaming right now,
so everybody can see it.
You're being seen all over the country.
So anyway, Turning Point is just one of the great stories out there, and they had their biggest year last year and doing things that nobody ever thought that they would.
What makes Michael Youssef and David Jeremiah and those kind of folks, what makes them successful in terms of their ability to communicate?
Well, of course, the integrity to the Bible and not straying to the left and the right. And we all know of national ministries that you get off 1% and before you know it, you're on Mars. And so, and I could name them one by one. Having been on the board of NRB, you know, the National Religious Broadcasters. Are you still on the board, or did you slide away?
I think I'm off. I think I rotated off.
Yeah, I slid you on, and now you slid you off.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So anyway.
There was only one meeting a year. I like the NRB. We got a good relationship.
Oh, and they do a great job. Yeah. Here's the answer to your question from my 40 years in this, is that ministries who take care and are attentive to their constituency and deliver on their promise. But you have to deliver on the promise. If somebody writes you, you write back. If somebody asks for a resource, it needs to be well thought through, and it needs to get to the person.
Yeah.
You know, I heard you the other day on a program, they're giving away 100 books or something, and you were saying, well, they got to get to us first. You were telling the listener, you have to get here first, then we have to send them out.
Right.
And it's good way to communicate. So the idea of integrity, certainly, but the idea of taking care of their constituencies. Yeah. And you know what? A lot of ministries that have you know, potential communicators and stuff don't want to do the back end anymore because that's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean,
all of the direct mail and all of the resources and stuff, it's a different kind of generation, you know, that will do that or not do that. So.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's Greg Fast. Greg's in studio with us. He's visiting. He's down from Nashville. Flew on a jet.
For the first time in my life.
And he's leaving.
Jet plane. Well,
kind of a Southwest guy most of the time.
He didn't. First, Greg doubted me, I think. We have jet service from Nashville to Tupelo 3 times a day. Are you going back this afternoon?
I am. I would have done a prop.
You'll be home
if
before
that
dark.
Got me. Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
All right, Steve, what's the what's happening in the world? Greg can hang around and comment.
Well, I just wanted to let you know. So we've been talking about all the college campuses, the protests that are going on college campuses. I'm seeing on my Twitter feed right now that the faculty at NYU has formed a human chain around the student encampment there because they're threatened with arrest, and the faculty is going to keep the police out. Basically.
The faculty?
Yeah.
So the inmates are running the asylum.
That's right. Well, I just want to let you know that it's happening everywhere.
Where's everywhere?
Well, Liberty University, for one. I want to play you a little bit about what's going on at Liberty University.
Hold on just a second. You just rocked my world.
I know. Well, okay.
Just a second.
Hang with me here.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hang with you. I'm going to withhold judgment till you tell the rest of the story.
This is what's going on at Liberty right now, cut 14.
In seeing what we have been witnessing, watching over these last few days in college campuses across this country, Columbia University and NYU, Yale University, MIT, other places where students, while we're gathered on the lawn here at Liberty, that they're also on the lawns of their schools and they are protesting and they are threatening the lives of their own fellow students. And they're speaking a language that basically says that they are for the annihilation of an entire race of people. How amazing it is that Liberty students come to our lawn, and what we do is rather attack one another, that we lift up the name of the only one who is worthy of our praise, and that is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah, so they're protesting at Liberty with worship bands.
Are they supporting Israel, too?
Yes.
Is that what the purpose of that was?
They can probably expect a visit from the Department of Justice. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is Liberty one of the ones that's being sued?
No, Grand Canyon University in Arizona. They're the largest, I think they're the largest Christian school in the country, and they're being attacked by the one of the three-letter agencies in D.C.
Yes.
Huh?
Department of Education.
Yeah, Department of Education.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, good for those students there at Liberty University. Okay, I've seen protests, and the protesters are the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel bunch.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
And they are, I've seen them out at NYU. This is on television. NYU, Columbia, which are two schools in New York City. Mm-hmm. UT Austin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now, are they?
I'm sure it's dozens of campuses that no one's mentioned yet. But
yeah, but I don't think this is widespread yet. Is what I'm saying, I don't call that widespread. I don't think there's that much anti-Semitism in America.
From your mouth to God's ears.
I think these are your Antifa BLM folks.
Yes,
who have a far left, anti-American, anti-Christian view of the world, and they make noise.
Yes,
and so.
But the shocking part about this,
faculty,
within 48 hours after the massacre was carried out on those Israeli citizens on October 7th, within 48 hours, there were anti-Israel protests on campuses in this country.
Yeah.
So that tells me this anti-Semitism, well, it has been building for years. We've been doing stories on this for years. The boycott, divest movement. And that's being repeated now. They say the university should have nothing to do with Israeli-based companies. This ought not to come as a shock, actually.
Of course not. It's college campuses. I have 6 children. I wouldn't even think of going to any kind of university, maybe Liberty or Grand Canyon, maybe, but, you know, much less public school. So, I mean, that's a closed, surprise.
Yes.
Yeah. Ray, where's this going to go, Ray? You think this will die out here pretty soon?
Well, no. I think the people on the other side, the pro-Hamas supporters, the anti-Semites, they have been energized. Why should they stop? it's working. It's working at Columbia. It's working at NYU. We're going to see them in Austin, Texas. I mean, it's happening there. No, I think it's going to spread to major universities across the country. And just for my two cents of what I think ought to happen, when the protesters are found, if they are students enrolled at the university, they ought to be expelled. If they're not, they ought to be arrested. That would solve the problem quickly if we had leaders with the
courage. That's what Governor DeSantis of Florida said.
Mm-hmm. And didn't Greg Abbott in Texas, come down hard on something there?
Yes.
God bless Texas.
Yeah. Yes. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Ray, I don't think a lot of people understand when these people use the expression by these people, I'm talking about these pro-Hamas protesters, there's an expression that they use from the river to the sea, right? And most Americans go, what in the world is that?
What river, what sea? What are we talking about?
What are we talking about here? From the river to the sea. When they use that phrase, what are they talking about?
Well, the river, of course, is the Jordan River, the biblical Jordan River. And the sea is the Mediterranean Sea. What do you have between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea? You have the nation of Israel.
Right.
And when they say from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free,
right,
they are calling for not just the destruction of the nation of Israel. They're talking about the elimination of the Jewish state. And frankly, I think they're talking about...
They really are talking about genocide.
Yeah, they really, thank you. They really are talking about genocide.
They're talking about, they want to wipe out the Jewish people, basically.
So people say, why don't the Jews negotiate? How do you negotiate with people who want to wipe you off the face of the earth?
Well, they have tried.
Yeah, they tried. They tried over the decades. It doesn't work. Why? I remember there was a gentleman, he died about 5 years ago, and he was my tour guide in Israel for 20 years, one of our tour guides. He was an Arab believer, and he had a home in Jericho. Met his wife. He had a home in Jericho. He had a home also in Jerusalem. Anyway, but he was very fair-minded. He loved living in Israel, an Arab.
Sure.
But he could point out, you know, some things that he thought were wrong that the Israeli government was doing against the Palestinian/Arab people. But he wasn't an anti-Semite. He worked with Jews all the time, even though he had some differences. But he told me one time, he said, you know what? The leaders of the Palestinian people don't want peace with Israel. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, Yasser Arafat, he said, he pocketed the money that the U.S. and other countries, European countries, would give the Palestinian people.
Billions.
Money.
Yeah.
Okay. They were called, it was called PLO, right? Back before Hamas. The PLO may still exist. It's called the Palestinian Authority today.
Right.
Okay. Preceding the... We're out of time, and I'm fixing to sound really smart, and we're about out of time.
That's what tomorrow's for.
Well, we got, yeah. All right, so anyway, he said that instead of building peace with Israel and building roads and bridges and colleges and hospitals, they took that money and they stole it. And you remember Yasser Arafat, when he died, it was discovered he had all that money in the Swiss bank account.
Billions of dollars.
It should have been for the Palestinian people.
Yeah.
So anyway, I can wax eloquent later another day on this topic. Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Steve.
My pleasure.
Brent Creeley, our producer, and our other guests, including Greg Fast, who will head over to our cute little airport.
30 minutes home.
Yeah, and be back home this afternoon.
Thanks for letting me come.
Before supper. See you tomorrow, everybody.